Broncos lost to the Raiders. Again. I'm not happy about that, trust me. And now they are eight and nine. Season's over. Sean Payton. Already we are done with the first season under head coach Sean Payton. My poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. What grade would you give Sean Payton on his first year as the head coach for the Broncos? And it's interesting. That's not that interesting. C. That's like the least interesting. 42% of the hooligans are saying C. 21% giving him an F. 17% giving him a D. 14% giving him a B. And 3.5% giving Sean Payton an A. Is that Tanner? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll see where that one kind of finishes up. What do the Broncos go? Where do they go from here? You know, you start looking around at contracts and things that they got to do to try to make some room here, because the Russell Wilson, keep him or, like we all think, move on, still going to cost you. Still going to be a pretty significant hit towards your cap. $37 million you'll have to give him if he leaves. He will have, at that point, he will have made over $120 million. In two seasons, if released. The cap hit against the Broncos, if they release him, is $80 million in cap in 2024. But if they do the post-June 1st designation, $40 million in 2024 and $40 million in 2025, perhaps. Might not be split right down the middle, but if you do the post-June 1st thing designation, then you could split some of that up into two seasons. Still going to hurt. Still going to be pretty bad. Looking at the rest of these positions, when you look around at this team, you know, where do they need to get better? If it's not quarterback, if the Broncos do decide that they want to stay with Russell Wilson, they want to even try the Jarrett Stidham thing, where do they need to get better, and how do they do that quickly with the 12th pick? Do you take somebody in that 12th spot that is going to come on and make an immediate impact for your football team? Now, I've got a list of the top 20. I've mixed this in with several rankings of the top 20 players in this draft. And it would just kind of look through what would make sense at 12 or kind of around there, depending on who takes what at that stage. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the number one player in this draft. Chicago could draft him. I could see that happening. Number two is Caleb Williams. Number three is Drake May. Number four, Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. Now, that would be a nice get there. 6'4", 240 pounds, certainly looks the part of the next big-time explosive playmaking tight end. Just, he's not going to be there, and is that a player worth trying to package future first rounders and Patrick Surtain for? Probably not. Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame. I mean, you have McGlinchey for better or worse, and you probably still go with Garrett Bowles at this stage. Garrett Bowles, his contract expires in 2025. So I don't, it's not that they don't need a better one, it's not that they don't need an upgrade. Just doesn't make sense, probably, with the contract situation that they have right now. There's the wide receiver out of Washington that we'll see tonight, 6'3", 201 pounds. Rome Odunziè, is that how you say his name? I mean, again, I like the idea of wide receivers, but you still have all these guys under contract. Sutton, Patrick, and Jerry Jeudy for one more year. One more year for Jeudy. And then you have Marvin Mims. So I just don't know that that's the route you're going to go at this stage. It just seems like that might just be another spot when you didn't even really utilize Marvin Mims. You obviously, he's a special team stud. He's going to the Pro Bowl. But I just don't know if you're really going to look to just add another wide receiver when you have all these guys under contract. Like Brandon Johnson, you know, got hurt early and then came back late in the season, four receptions, 88 yards. Is that a guy you can work with? Maybe you don't go the wide receiver route. So I'm just going down the list here of the top 20 guys. You got the tackle out of Penn State. Again, because of contracts, I don't know if that makes sense. Another receiver, Neighbors out of LSU. Then at number nine, your boy, one of your boys here, Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama. That's a need. You know, I don't know if you're 100% content with your current situation. You know, with Nick Bonito, who's certainly had some big moments. Baron Browning, Jonathan Cooper. I mean, I don't know if any of those guys really just are really showing. You know, Nick Bonito's still young enough, but are they really showing you that they're going to be high-impact players, or do you try to go get an edge rusher? Now, he's the ninth best player on this in this draft class. Keep in mind, I've only said two quarterbacks so far. And you got the D-tackle out of Illinois, Newton, 6'2", 295 pounds. Yeah, probably need to get better there, too. You have DJ Jones at nose tackle, but the Broncos play a base 3-4, so how does that impact? Well, at least they do for now with Vance. What's that look like, you know, for any D-tackle making that transition? Because your position's different in a 4-3 as a D-tackle than it is in the 3-4. Next is Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. Amarius Mims, the tackle out of Georgia. A lot of tackles. J.C. Latham out of Alabama, another tackle there. Nate Wiggins, a linebacker out of Clemson, the first linebacker in the top 15, the only linebacker in the top 15, 6'2", 185. Jared Verse, an edge rusher out of Florida State, 6'4", 248. Another edge rusher out of UCLA. Keon Coleman, another wide receiver from Florida State. Another tackle from Oregon State, and Talise Fuanga. Cooper DeJean, the cornerback out of Iowa. Kool-Aid out of Alabama. Like the name. Corner's not, and Michael Penix is ranked actually at 21. Which, again, that doesn't mean he's going to go at 21. It's just those are the best players. They don't always line up with the teams as far as who needs what. So if you're Denver, and I'm just, that's it. I wrote 21 because of Penix Jr. Where do you go? Now, Alex Singleton was a tackle machine for Denver. He missed a lot of tackles, too, but seemed to have a nose for the football. I think you're happy with him. Josie Jewell is probably an area you could get better. So can you get better at the linebacker position, edge rusher? Hell, man, you could make a case for going after another cornerback. You know, that was a position that just got... You had moments where, like, a McMillan looked pretty good in that run they went on. They looked pretty good. Damari Mathis. You know, it's just nobody stands out. So if you keep Patrick Surtain, then you could draft another corner and you have two lockdown guys. And that would be appealing. So I could see a corner going. I guess I have a hard time thinking that a tackle will go, that they'll go after a tackle in the first round because of the contracts. I have a hard time thinking that they're going to go after a wide receiver, and that's not because it's not a position to need. They don't have playmakers, but with all the contracts you have locked up, I don't know that it makes a lot of sense to draft one early unless you move some guys around. If you do that, okay. Because I'd love to see a playmaking wide receiver for the Broncos. Sutton was great for one or two plays a game. Tim Patrick hasn't played for the Broncos in 2 years. Jerry Jeudy, obviously we've talked a lot about him being a bust. Had some moments, but not enough. So, I mean, wide receiver is a position of need. I just don't, it's like the tackle thing. I don't know that it makes sense because of their contracts. So I could see corner. I could see quarterback. I could see linebacker. Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, if he would probably be available around that 12th spot, might be reaching at that stage. Edge rusher, I could certainly see them going after. But as far as the big, big needs, it's probably edge rusher and playmaker on the offensive side of the football, which again brings us back to Do you take a chance and draft another wide receiver and just get that room so damn full that you have a lot of different options? Outside of quarterback, there's not a lot of those positions of need that make a lot of sense. I mean, edge rushers, good. You got three or four of those guys in the top 20. A lot of tackles in this draft. Just in the top 21, Angel, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the top 20. So there's a lot of tackles. Obviously, there's a lot of quarterbacks, a couple of cornerbacks, a couple of edge rushers. So what do you think the biggest need is for the Broncos going forward? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Flying Dutchman says, where is it? Denver should trade back and stockpile picks and work on the weakest links first and trade a third for Justin Fields. Chicago will go Caleb Williams. Am I wrong on this? Chicago's not going to give away Justin Fields for a third-round pick. Is he still in
a third and maybe Surtain?
What is he worth? Is he still?
Who are you asking? You asking Chicago? Or are you asking?
What do they want for him?
31 other teams.
They acquire another. Is he worth a first-round pick to 31 other teams? To any team?
I don't think so. Maybe to a few.
I think a third. I don't know. I still think he's got the ceiling. He's still got, you know, you could argue that Chicago's been a dumpster fire during his time there, save for the second half of this season. I wouldn't mind seeing Justin Fields as the next quarterback for the Broncos. I really wouldn't. Eastside Chris chiming in here on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Crazy pick, but the center from Michigan. You do need a center. Local guy. Maybe later pick. Yeah, how late? You don't got a second round pick, so. Build the future line for the next QB, but who's the next QB? Where do you get him then?
Well, if you're content with if it's a rookie or it's not, and semi-tanking the season anyway, then you just look ahead to 2025 and you get a guy that's more pro ready, and he has a line, he has a weapon or two.
Yeah.
You have Sean Payton's system mostly in place, and it's just, hey, the quarterback needs to learn it.
There is the argument that, okay, the ownership group and George Payton looked at Sean Payton and said, we're going all in. And then Sean Payton says, guys, I think we can make the playoffs, but I could also see this being a process. If this Russ thing doesn't work out, it could be two seasons before we get back in. It could be. Are you guys willing to be patient? Because I'm not taking the job if you're not willing to be patient. And I bet that conversation was had.
That route of stock up players you want, ride out with Russ one more year.
Yeah, but you're kind of locked in on the whole, if you go 1 year, you got to go two because that cap hit is 10 times worse. That's the sticky point here. Mm-hmm. You can't really just say, go one more year. You kind of lock in, too, because then your cap hit, because he's under the contract now. So then it really destroys
you. By the end of that next year, is he willing to be a backup? I mean, you're still paying him.
Still paying him. Yeesh. I just don't see that role. I just don't see him being a back. That would be a weird backup spot. Again, it was weird this year. Is he more of a distraction being a backup quarterback for a long, almost the entire season?
Well, do you risk something we've seen this year with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young? Do you risk hurting the confidence of a rookie quarterback if you don't have a great year as his first year?
Yeah, that's why you probably just go and say, like, I would be good with Jarrett Stidham because you have him under contract. And you're paying him like $5 million. So you just put a Michael Penix Jr. or whatever behind him for a month, and then you just kind of see where you are. If you think you're in the hunt and Jarrett Stidham's proven it, keep going. Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes type of deal. Or like we said earlier, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love kind of deal. And you just, you, you, But I just don't see this team being that good.
Is Sean Payton willing to sit his rookie quarterback for a while in this era of get your guy out there as quick as possible?
And that's the thing about having an older coach. He might go back. He might fall back on that. You know, I don't need to press this. Although when he took over with the Saints, he got Drew Brees. So it was kind of a quick, it was the instant quarterback. It was the instant fix at QB. I could fix all the other things. Flying Dutchman says, okay, trade a third rounder and Sean Payton for Justin Fields. A lot of people don't like Sean Payton. I have my issues with him, but for some reason.
Tires on Harbaugh again.
Yeah. For some reason, I feel like Payton could get this, could fix this if he has the right man at quarterback. I really do. And I just, that guy's not on the team. I don't really want to play around too much with the free agency crap. You can't afford Kirk Cousins. Justin Fields is appealing to me. I like the idea of that. But I like the idea of drafting a quarterback, one of these guys, at number 12. 22 minutes after the hour, we got the NFL playoff picture set and ready to go. Let's look at it. Some early matchup kind of thoughts and predictions. It was a wild close to the weekend. A lot of fun. The NFL, a couple of years ago, adding that 17th game and that extra playoff spot has certainly made the last stretch a little bit more entertaining. Hats off to the NFL again. They figured it out. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
From the entire KFKA crew, thanks for making us your station. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Finally, the NFL playoffs are set. Wild card weekend, 13th, 14th, and 15th, Monday night action. Do you like the Monday game? Playoffs extending out an extra day going on a Monday?
You know how I feel about primetime games. So
but if you're just like not, it's not your team, so it's just an extra game?
It depends. My playoff interest has obviously shifted since I've found a team.
Well, Philadelphia-Tampa Bay has nothing to do with you until the Super Bowl, so... You like it Monday?
Sure.
I do too. I'm good with the little extra day.
It's better than cramming six games into a weekend.
Yeah. And tonight, I'm so excited. I throughout the weekend, I was like, it's a national championship game. That's right. Let's go. So, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay. Interesting. All right. It's first game. On Saturday, the Green Bay Packers are at Dallas.
Yikes.
How do you feel about... Now, I think that Dallas is going to be in the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be Dallas and Baltimore. But this is an interesting one because it's Mike McCarthy as the Cowboys coach against his old team in the Green Bay Packers, the team he won a Super Bowl with.
Well, it's a team that has consistently knocked the Cowboys out of the playoffs.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be tough. So that's 2:30 on Fox. I'm really excited about that game. That's an interesting one. Also on Saturday, I think both these games are on Saturday, right? Rams-Lions. That's a Sunday. Excuse me, I said the Packers-Dallas game was Saturday. It's Sunday. I'm looking at Sundays. Rams-Lions on Sunday, 6:15. Wow. So we talk about Mike McCarthy going up against his old team. The Rams and the Lions. Jared Goff going up against his old team that discarded him. Matt Stafford's going up against his old team that wouldn't do enough for him when he was there. And so there's a great storyline. How does it work out like that?
It's almost like it's scripted.
Oh, Angel. There it is. Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, though. That's not scripted. What's interesting there? Baker Mayfield?
The Eagles falling apart as of late.
Eagles have just been...
Hurts his finger. Is it functioning.
Ooh, that looked bad.
A.J. Brown, is he okay?
Ugh. Tampa Bay doesn't beat the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend, do they? That's the Monday night game.
In Tampa on a Monday night.
Anything can happen on Monday night.
Sirianni on the hot seat a little bit. He might be rubbing people the wrong way.
Yeah, that attitude can work if you're winning, but once you start losing, it gets old. That routine gets old fast. On Saturday, okay, here we go. Now we got a Saturday 2:30. Let's do the Saturday game at 2:30. Cleveland at Houston.
Another interesting matchup of teams.
Cinderella story in Cleveland, right? Joe Flacco. Houston, kind of a really, D'Amico Ryan's first year as a head coach. He's got him in. He's got a rookie quarterback in Stroud. And they're in the playoffs.
And you go back to the Deshaun Watson situation between these two teams.
Deshaun kind of left his stain on both of these teams. Both are feeling pretty good about life right now, though. That one's really intriguing to me. Saturday night, Angel. On Peacock.
Yay.
6:15. The Dolphins going to Kansas City, and it might be really, really cold. I sense not a lot of confidence from you.
Not a lack of confidence. Going into the game last night, it was already decided if they lost that this was going to be the matchup, and it was either this or play Buffalo again. Obviously, the weather, the stadium, the atmosphere is tough. Mostert, Jalen Waddle may be coming back for the Dolphins. Defense looked good for most part of the game last night. Obviously, Mahomes is a different animal. But Tyreek Hill getting a second shot. Didn't get the first one earlier this season.
Getting
Kansas
City.
Arrowhead for the first time.
Kansas City just scares me. Until they prove otherwise, I still trust them. Even if they're weird in the season, They're like that Golden State team to me. They're like LeBron James to me, where I can see them struggle, but I think they might be able to turn it on here. Now, again, the question around Kansas City is, with your wide receivers, do you have the guys and get you to where you need to be?
I think, obviously, the weather's going to lean towards it, but I think if Miami can run the ball and actually do it in the second half, they might have a shot.
We're going to do picks on Friday. We're going to do Football Friday picks. We want our Hooligans to go along with us on that and see. Let's have some fun with this one. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. That's the Sunday morning game. Pittsburgh sounds like T.J. Watt's not going to go this weekend. Best case scenario is that Pittsburgh wins and he can play with them in some kind of a whatever cast thingy. I don't know. Some kind of a wrap thing on his leg. The next week, Pittsburgh, gritty. Where Mike Tomlin, we root for him. It's a fun story, but I don't trust that offense. I think Buffalo is going to turn the football over. Is what they're doing. They do. Josh Allen had 3 turnovers in that game.
Doesn't seem to be.
He had 2 interceptions and a fumble.
Is that a fumble or a strip? Because he kind of like ripped the ball out of his hands and then just kind of had it in his hands.
Strip sack is a fumble.
Didn't touch the ground.
Yeah.
So is that a fumble? Is that technically a fumble?
It's technically a fumble. I guess could you say it's an interception?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
His hand wasn't going forward.
I do think the Bills are hot, but that game yesterday, you needed a 95-yard punt return to tie that thing up, and then obviously you have the interception, which was not on Tua. I'll defend you on that one. It's a bad route by Claypool, right? Or who was it?
Yeah.
Terrible route. Terrible route. Got to be sharp on that one. Pittsburgh's offense, man. I mean, you want to take a nap, What's
they
more
can
boring?
They run the ball with Harris.
That's true. They can't run the ball.
And Miami showed you something last night about running the ball on them.
Still, I don't know. Pittsburgh's offense, again, as much as I like Mike Tomlin, I'm like, what's the long-term plan here with Pittsburgh? Just squeezed into the playoffs somehow. That's why, again, so much respect for Tomlin.
Thanks, Jacksonville.
Is Mason Rudolph starting? They're not going to go back
I don't think they're going back to Pittsburgh.
They're just going to keep going with that hot hand there. The interesting
you've
story.
Been there for 4 or 5 years now. You might as well just keep it going.
He's been through everything with this team.
Not Trubisky's there.
Niners are off. Ravens are off. Niners will host the team with the lowest seed that wins this weekend. Ravens will host the team with the lowest seed that wins in the AFC this weekend. Which could be... Angel, could it be here? Let's see. If Miami wins and Pittsburgh loses, Miami would get... It would be a rematch of Miami and Baltimore. Mm-hmm. That's the way it looks, right? If Miami loses and Pittsburgh loses, Joe Flacco could be going up against his old team. Discarded like a bag of trash. And he could knock him out.
This stuff? What writer's strike? We're working overtime on this one.
If Cleveland wins and Miami and Pittsburgh lose, and it is Joe Flacco and company against Baltimore, and then Joe Flacco wins against Baltimore, then maybe there is a script. Maybe there is, man, because Joe Flacco was sitting on his couch eating
Funyuns. Second half of the season plot twist. Yeah. Joe Flacco.
Enter a new character.
Will he come back next season? I have no idea.
He's like the most popular guy in the league right now. In Denver, we couldn't stand him. He wasn't like the most electrifying. He didn't have the most electrifying personality. He wasn't like a fan favorite. And now he is.
How can you love Joe Flacco after what he did in 2012?
Well, obviously, yes. There's hatred there, and then we bring him here, and then he's in his prime. But that's clearly not prime. That's like a four-win prime time type situation there for Joe. And now he's like this lovable, 5 o'clock shadow sitting on your couch eating chips. Oop, football? Sure.
A little sleep on the bench. Just man Flacco.
Just fell asleep, man. And that makes us like him even more.
I mean, how many other 35 plus year olds out there watch football and say, see, I can do it?
Okay. You got to play along here. Take Miami out. I know you're rooting for Miami. Let's go NFC. Who are you rooting for? Who do you want to see win this weekend? Which storyline? Jordan Love taking over for Aaron Rodgers?
That one has my interest because they've turned it on as of late. But it's probably between Los Angeles and Detroit.
Isn't that the story?
Detroit's a fun story. I don't really have anything wrong with the Rams. I like Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Stafford's cool. Cooper Kupp and Puka are fun to watch. So whoever wins that game will have my NFC interest.
Those two are really interesting. And again, the storyline, the quarterbacks. There's a unique storyline almost for everybody here. Green Bay, Jordan Love replaces Aaron Rodgers. Dallas Cowboy, Mike McCarthy, that was his old team in Green Bay when he won a Super Bowl.
Is this Dallas's year?
Can they be a Super Bowl team? Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay came back to right the ship, and here they are. They have a playoff shot against the team that they dumped Jared Goff off to. And Jared Goff's looking back at this. Detroit's a great story by itself with Dan Campbell and what they've been able to do. Jared Goff's looking at the Rams and McVay like, you discarded me. Like I was nothing.
Stafford got his Super Bowl. Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yes, that's an excellent storyline. Philadelphia. Best team, one of the best teams in the league for a long time. They kind of, save for making the playoffs, reminded me of Arizona 2 years ago when Arizona was smoking hot. Tampa Bay, the reemergence of Baker Mayfield. You're replacing Tom Brady, and here you go. You got a $2 million bonus, and it's a redemption story. That's a huge story. Cleveland, we just talked about it. Joe Flacco, Houston, D'Amico Ryans, rookie quarterback. Miami Dolphins. They've been one of the more popular teams all year. Mike McDaniel, that's a story that's just attractive even without playoffs because he's such an interesting guy. Kansas City. Both teams are they've had their struggles the last couple of weeks.
Is one going down and the other's coming up?
Yeah,
in
maybe.
In terms of power shifts.
At the right time. Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Again, Pittsburgh, they have another redemption story in Rudolph, even though he never left them. But he stuck around long enough. Now here he is again in Buffalo. They have been a favorite to win a Super Bowl for several years now. And they weren't really a favorite this year. they had some ups and downs, but it seemed like they're kind of getting it right. However, Josh Allen does still turn the ball over quite a bit. So there are some – every one of these teams has a really unique storyline. Should be a fun playoff weekend. 39 minutes after the hour, Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The Wolverines are 5.5-point favorites tonight going up against Washington Huskies. Something's got to give. 14-0 versus 14-0. 5:30 at the time, the kickoff set on ESPN tonight. And you got two guys, two quarterbacks that are I don't know about project. I don't know where J.J. McCarthy is really projected. I think he's probably more of a second-round guy, Angel. So what? You know, I don't really see him in a lot of the mock drafts there, but Michael Penix Jr., most of what I'm seeing has him in the top 15. But this should be a heck of a matchup, and wouldn't that be fitting for the Pac-12 if they get a champion? That'd be their first champ since the playoff era began, right? Wow. some great storylines surrounding this one, too. And you look at Harbaugh's situation and what happens here. Win or lose, how do you feel? If he wins, is he more likely to go the NFL route?
I think he's going either way.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I think him putting his name out there last season and last offseason with the Broncos and a few other teams, I think that interest is there. I think the NCAA and the investigations and the scandals, I think he's tired of that. I think he wants to get back to the NFL.
Yeah.
So I think either way.
Well, and this year's been taxing. You know, whether you want to agree with Harbaugh or side feel for Harbaugh or not really care and just assume he's running a crappy organization or an organization that's cheating and stuff and all that. So you could assume that. It seems like he's probably just done with it. It's a different game. And listen, Harbaugh was one of those guys, because he came from Stanford, then went to San Francisco. He showed that he can do both. He obviously had success with San Francisco. And then he goes right back to college and had a lot of success with Michigan. So, honestly, I would like to see him back in the NFL. Because I think that getting more of these character type coaches in the NFL is entertaining. And it's more entertaining when they're in the NFL. Those kind of coaches are in the NFL than they are in college football, to me, anyway.
What if he goes to the Raiders and then they draft McCarthy?
It could. I could see that happening. Because the Raiders are, what are they, 13th or 14th? Something like 13. That. So, McCarthy, I've seen. They could trade that pick and move around too. They could take him in the second round. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Have those guys pair up with each other? AFC West could get really full of celebrity type coaches because I've seen the Bill Belichick Chargers thing too.
If not him, then who?
For the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. You go offensive minded again?
Yeah.
I don't know how many branches are left on the Shanahan tree at this point.
Well, didn't Staley call the defense too? Didn't he? Wasn't he calling the defensive plays, but he would make all the decisions on offense to go for it and stuff? I think this game's gonna be a lot of fun tonight. Now the line has moved. It was 4.5 on Friday, and it's typical. It's normal that it moves around a little bit like that. But it's now Michigan -5.5. I'm rooting for Washington. One of our guys here, Michael Kirkpatrick, is a diehard Huskies fan. So for his sake, but not really just for his sake, because he also wants the Broncos to win meaningless games. So I'm rooting for Washington because I've followed the Pac-12 more because of the Buffs and just a lot of teams that are in my interest, in my world of interest, I guess. But I won't lie to you. There's something about kind of wanting to root for Harbaugh too. I don't really hate Harbaugh. I think he's weird and sometimes comes off as really disrespectful. But I like his mom and dad were on the sidelines the last weekend, and they did his whole spiel, which is who's got it better than us? Nobody. They do their little saying thing. It kind of makes me root for him a little bit more, even though he's cheating probably and filming everybody do everything, and that's how they win games. The vacuum story, the what's his face, Stallions. I mean, like, all that's weird. Who are you rooting for?
Washington.
Just no doubt. Why?
I don't like Harbaugh.
Thing? You just hate Harbaugh.
I don't hate him. I just don't like him. I don't like the way that ESPN is propping him up as this, everyone's doing me wrong. Like, no, you're the head coach. You take responsibility for this. Sean Payton may have nothing to do with Bounty Gate, but you were the head coach when that happened.
True. True, yeah.
And I just don't like Michigan.
I don't hate Michigan. I just don't have that. You know? Just don't hate them. But I'm probably leaning toward Washington. I think Penix Jr. has been a lot of fun. And again, I've watched a lot of Washington football over the last few years. 48 minutes after the hour. Who do you like tonight? Shoot us a text on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Or you can go on our Twitter. I got the poll question up on my Twitter account, @WholeShow. Go vote there. We'll get to what did we learn on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on this eighth day of January? I learned that I'm going to steal this one from Dixon. It's a line similar to what was said in White Man Can't Jump. Sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you lose, you really win. And for the Broncos, they lost yesterday to the Raiders, the hated Raiders. But it does feel like they really won, at least in that moment, because they have a better draft pick. It would have probably been 15, 16, 17, who knows. And we could figure that out if we really wanted to, but I'm being lazy about it. But they finished at 12, which probably puts you in the sweet spot to get Michael Penix Jr., or certainly give you a little more ammunition to move up. If you were to package some future picks and maybe a player, probably a Patrick Surtain, but it does give you a few more options. Again, 5-6 slots does make a difference. Even 2 or 3 does make a difference, especially with some of the teams in front of them that are pretty quarterback hungry. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I'm almost kind of glad football's almost over. I'm a little footballed out at this point.
The
playoffs are entertaining, but I'm just like, okay, I'm good. I've had my fill. I could have one more bite, but it's like,
I'm trying it. I'm extremely excited for
the
playoffs.
Cut the last bite in half and be satisfied.
I'm good with shifting more into basketball mode. I'm good with that. But I'm really looking forward to like this weekend to see how these stories play out. And then the following weekend's going to be some great matchups, too.
I guess I would rather say I'm looking forward to not being as emotionally invested into football.
Welcome to the party, Angel. Welcome to this party over here. We haven't been emotionally invested in playoff football in 8 years.
You had that 5-week stretch.
Yeah, but actually feeling nerves going into the playoffs?
It's not nerves. It's just,
I don't even know what that is.
I don't want to go to bed angry anymore.
I went to bed pretty happy last night.
Or basing my entire week off of what my teams did on the weekend. which I'm trying not to.
I've certainly got, I think the Broncos' lack of playoff berths over the years have made me a little, like, more, I don't know, numb, I suppose.
Apathetic.
Yeah, because you're just like, that kind of sucks. And then you just move on with your life. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Be safe out there. Don't blow away. And maybe we'll get some snow at some point. I don't know, Angel. It's going to be cold. Good night, Northern Colorado.